السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر الله أكبر. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة. حي على الصلاة. حي على الفلاح. حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر الله أكبر. لا إله إلا الله.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله. يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين. أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, in the pre-Islamic period in ancient Arabia, and in the Islamic period after the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was the way of the Arabs that they would wear what is called an izar, which in English we call a loincloth, but which is also known as a lungi in other languages. The loincloth being the wrap, which is similar to what the person wears when they are in the Hajj, the lower garment. That was the custom of the Arabs in the pre-Islamic times and in the Islamic period of early Arabia. That was the dress of men. They did not wear pants. That was a very rare sight to see, a person wearing the sirwal. Yet, on the day in which Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu was martyred, he was wearing a pair of pants underneath his garment. His wife was surprised at this because she had never seen him wear a pair of pants before. He, like the other Arabs, before and after Islam, would wear the izar, the wrap. So she asked him, why are you wearing the pants now? And Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, it is because he does not want his body to be exposed if he is killed. And we know from our discussion last week, when reflecting on the lessons of Sayyidina Uthman, that he was martyred. So he was showing care and concern for his modesty even in that serious moment. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan, Al-haya min al-iman wa ahya ummati Uthman. Shyness or modesty is a part of faith, and the most modest of my ummah is Uthman. We have another hadith in Sahih Muslim from Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha. She was in her house with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she tells us a story about some visitors. She says that as she was with her beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was sitting in the house with his blessed legs uncovered, the shins and the knees. The awra is covered, but the legs are uncovered. And her father, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, knocked on the door and asked to come in. And the Prophet ﷺ granted him permission, and he entered. And Rasulullah ﷺ did not change his posture or cover his blessed legs. He sat and conversed with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. Sometime later, another knock came, and it was Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. He also sought permission to enter, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission. He entered and sat and conversed with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, yet he did not cover his legs. And after some time, a third person came knocking, asking permission to enter, and that was none other than Sayyiduna Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave him permission to enter as well. Yet this time, when he entered, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam covered his blessed legs. Sayyidina Aisha was noticing all of this, and after they left, she asked her beloved sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, why is it then that when my father Abu Bakr came in, you did not change anything, you did not rearrange your clothes? And when Umar entered, you did not rearrange anything of your clothing. Yet when Uthman enters, you cover your legs, you rearrange your clothing. Why is that? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to his wife Aisha, أَلَا أَسْتَحِي مِنْ رَجُلٍ تَسْتَحِي مِنْهُ الْمَلَائِكَ. Should I not be shy before one before whom the angels are shy? In other words, Sayyidina Uthman was a very special figure before whom even the angels were shy. Dear brothers and sisters, last week we spoke about the virtues of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan and how he is in so many ways a role model for Muslims living as religious minorities in the West. And we recounted a number of his virtues and a number of lessons that we can take from his life on how to be as religious minorities in the West. One of those virtues is the virtue of haya, of modesty. This word modesty, haya, in Arabic, comes from the word life. Modesty and shyness comes from the word life, because when the heart is sick and lacking spiritual health, that person will begin to lose their haya, their modesty and shyness. Islam is, in fact, the deen of haya. It is the religion of modesty and shyness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that for every deen, every way of life, there is a particular unique quality. لِكُلِّ دِينٍ خَصْلَةٍ وَخَصْلَةُ هَذِ الدِّينَ الْحَيَاءِ. And the unique quality, unique to this religion, is haya. Now, haya is in the way of all of the prophets in the past, but it is extra emphasized in this deen of Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Although haya translates into English as shyness and modesty and having a dignified behavior and being unassuming, in Islam, haya or modesty should not be understood as being a sheep, or being timid or cowardly, or being socially anxious and insecure. That is not haya. Haya is instead a quality that is within the heart that prevents a person from doing something that is unbecoming, that is shameful, that is qabih, that's ugly. Now, this shyness that we speak about and that we seek for ourselves, we understand there's two types. There is the natural shyness that some people have more than others. And then there is the acquired shyness. The haya that is acquired is what we want to focus on. The haya that we have to work to develop within ourselves. As far as the natural shyness is concerned, some people are shyer than others. Some people are more outgoing than others. Some people are more introverted, others are more extroverted. So if a person is naturally shy, they're not getting a reward from Allah Ta'ala for their natural shyness, because it's their natural makeup, it's their basic default setting. What they are rewarded for is the acquired shyness that is applied in situations. The developed shyness requires an effort to be modest. Now, we all have various levels of natural shyness within the fitrah, some more than others, and that's a beautiful thing to have. But if the natural shyness is in short supply, then we have to default on the shyness that comes from iman, which is worked towards. And that is the shyness that comes from having an awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, an awareness of His watchfulness over us, Him being al-raqib, watching over us, sami'un basir, all hearing and all seeing, ever watching over us. So if we don't have the natural shyness like others, we at least fall back on the acquired shyness that comes from knowing Allah is always watching over us. So we have two types. As it concerns haya, we understand from the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that it is entirely good. As he said in the hadith, al-haya la yati illa bi khair. Haya, shyness, modesty only brings goodness. And in another hadith, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam described the reality of the deen and said that faith itself consists of some 60 odd branches. Al-iman bid'un wa sittuna shu'aba. He says 60 odd branches. A'laha qawlu la ilaha illallah wa adanaha imatatu al-adha 'an at-tariq wal haya shu'batun min al-iman. He says the highest branch of faith is to say with conviction, La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And the lowest branch of faith is to remove something harmful from the path, a branch, trash, whatever it may be. And then he said, and modesty, haya, is a branch of faith. So between the highest branch and the lowest branch of faith, there are some 60 odd other branches. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could have chosen anything out of those 60 odd branches to say, but he said out of them, haya. He set it apart. He mentioned it in distinction because it is so critical and so important for the life of a Muslim. In one hadith, there's an incident reported that there was an individual who, among the companions, who was very shy. He was not very outgoing at all. And he had that natural shyness. And he had a friend of his who was very outgoing and extroverted who was criticizing him. He was chastising him for being so shy. And as they were conversing amongst themselves outside in the streets of Medina, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed by them. He heard the man chastising the other man for being so shy. And he says, "Da'ahu, fa inna al-haya min al-iman." Leave him be, because haya, shyness and modesty, is from faith. Haya, dear brothers and sisters, is a universal moral value, but is extra emphasized in Islam, as we said, because it is described as one of the unique qualities to this deen that only brings good. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that haya is what beautifies things, and the opposite of haya, indecency, is what makes things ugly. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, "Ma kana al-fuhshu fi shay'in illa shana." وَمَا كَانَ الْحَيَاءُ فِي شَيْءٍ إِلَّا زَانَ. That never is there indecency in anything except that it renders it ugly. And never is there modesty in a thing except that it renders it beautiful. So the healthy human being who has his or her natural state, their fitrah, intact, will seek beauty and avoid ugliness. But when the fitrah, the natural state, gets corrupted due to environment, due to one's own actions, slowly and slowly the person will gravitate away from beauty and be more attracted to ugliness. And this is why you see in this day and age people celebrating ugliness and chastising beauty. People have lost the ability to recognize beauty as beauty and ugliness as ugliness. Or worse, they recognize the ugly as ugly and they embrace it and love it and celebrate it and want you to celebrate it as well. That is because haya has been removed from the hearts. And that is one of the most dangerous things that can happen to a child, is that they are in an environment or a situation or they are exposed to things that remove that natural haya, and they do not have the environment that is encouraging the acquired haya from deen. So we have to be very careful as it pertains to developing our haya, protecting our haya, enhancing our haya, and in our children and in our communities. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make our hearts healthy and reconnect us to that haya, to make us people of modesty, of shyness, of dignity, of forbearance, and to take us away from everything that is ugly, everything that mars and corrupts the fitrah. And may He restore us and heal us from those wounds that we have sustained living in the world, having our haya marred and attacked from the environment. May Allah purify us from all of that. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. الحمد لله رب العالمين وأفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم على سيدنا محمد الصادق الأمين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم gave us a very stern and critical warning as it pertains to the matter of haya, modesty and shyness. For he says in the authentic hadith, إِنَّ مِمَّا أَدْرَكَ النَّاسُ مِنْ كَلَامِ النَّبُوَّةِ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِئْتَ. He says, from the words of the earlier prophets that the people still find are, if you do not feel shame, then do as you wish. If you do not feel shame, if you do not have haya, then do as you wish. When you reflect on this hadith, you see that it comes as a command. The Prophet ﷺ is literally on the surface, he is saying, if you do not have shame, do what you want. Is that what it means? It means a number of things. But we know that it does not mean that one has an open license to do whatever they want and commit any indecency. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَاءِ. Allah says in the Holy Quran that He does not command or enjoin indecency. What does this hadith mean, therefore? The ulama mention a number of interpretations, all of which are sound. Some of the ulama say that in this hadith, it comes as a command in its structure, but it's actually a threat, a wa'id, threatening the person for the implications of lacking modesty. It's as if the Prophet ﷺ is saying, if you have no shame, then do as you wish, and you will see the consequences in your life, in your family, in your community, in your world, and in your hereafter. So it comes as a command, but it's actually a threat. In some interpretations, they say it is a command in its structure, but it's actually relaying information, as if the Prophet ﷺ is telling us, if you have no shame, then the result of that lack of shame is you will do whatever you want. You have no barriers. Nothing will stop you from doing any sort of indecency because you lack haya. And the third interpretation is that it is literally a permission granted by the Prophet ﷺ, but not a permission granted to just anyone. A permission granted only to the believers who are sound in their hearts. And in this interpretation, what it means is If you, the believer who has haya, who has a healthy relationship with Allah, are considering an action and whether to do it or not do it, and as you think about it, it does not evoke any feelings of shame, then you should go ahead and do it, because there's no reason to be ashamed to do it, because you have a healthy sense of shame. But if you feel shame, then you should not do it. All of these are sound interpretations. And ultimately what it tells us is that haya, modesty and shyness, is the criteria, the mi'yar, for deciding whether we should do or say certain things in our life. And if it does not pass that test of decency, we should not proceed with the action. Now haya, as we said, gets weakened by the environment. It also gets weakened by sin. And what happens to the human heart when modesty is lacking due to sin or environment is it creates a vicious circle. The person does something that is displeasing to Allah Ta'ala, their iman is weakened, their haya is lessened, and because of the weaker haya, it is easier for them to do something that is shameful, because they are lacking in haya that they once had. And the more they do things that are indecent, the weaker their haya becomes, creating this vicious feedback loop, this vicious circle. So you have people who lack haya get to a point where they do not care that people see them violating the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the commands of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They simply don't care. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith that all of the ummah, every single member of the ummah is pardoned, mu'afa, pardoned, forgiven, illa al-mujahirun, except the proclaimers, the announcers, the ones who go out and publicize their sins. He said, as the companions asked, who are these people, Ya Rasulullah? Who are these so-called mujahirun who go out and announce their sins and transgressions? He says, they are the people who spend the night in disobedience to Allah Ta'ala, and Allah covers them. Allah veils people from seeing them and what they're doing. Yet they enter into the morning telling people, last night I did such and such and I did such and such. They brag and boast about the ma'asi, the sins, the bad things that they do, because they are lacking in haya. And then if the person continues like this, they go deeper and deeper, and then they become defensive about their actions. If anyone dares to give them even sincere, gentle advice in private, أَخَذَتْهُ الْعِزَّةُ بِالْإِثْمِ, they become proud and haughty and arrogant that anyone should suggest there's a better path for you, and that this is not the path to Allah's pleasure. They become arrogant and proud. And they continue like this, and what happens? They become a da'i, a caller, inviting others to their way. They invite others to their path, and they demand not just that you tolerate their behavior, tolerate their degeneracy. They want you to go beyond tolerance. They want you to partake in it. They want you to celebrate it. And they will get angry with you and say that you are backwards or bigoted or hateful if you dare say, this is not pleasing to Allah Ta'ala, I don't want anything to do with it. This is the vicious circle when haya is removed from the heart or when it is diminished. So where does this leave us, dear brothers and sisters? It is obvious to anyone who has eyes and ears that modesty is not exactly an asset today in our money-driven selfie culture. In the absence of hayat, there comes ugliness, crassness, indecency, degenerate and undignified behavior. There's a loss of moral restraint and an influx of spiritual sicknesses, and then ultimately divine displeasure, wal'iyadh billah. And this loss of haya, the loss of modesty, we should say, is not just in matters of immodest dress, whether men or women. It runs far deeper than matters of dress. It's not just in the externals, it is also in how one behaves, how one carries themselves, how they interact with people, specifically with the opposite gender. Now I should say because it is from the amana, the trust, that anyone who stands on the minbar recognizes that they are standing on the minbar of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Which means that when we speak about these matters, we have to utter haqq, utter truth, even if it is bitter, even if it is a hard pill to swallow. So standing on this minbar, the truth must be told. And the truth is that in the hadith of Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam defined the parameters of the hijab, saying it is everything to be covered except for the face and the hands. This is an obligation in the religion. There is no question about that. And that will never change. That is not something that is subject to fluctuation and change or becoming updated. That is a thabit among the thawabit, the constants of the deen. Everyone has their struggles. Some have visible struggles, areas where they're working on. Some have invisible struggles, things they're working on, things they have a difficult time with. And everyone is trying to grow in their faith, and everyone is striving to be better in dealing with their own issues, asking for Allah's help and seeking for His forgiveness and mercy. However, despite all of those caveats, the obligations remain obligations. What is halal remains halal, what is haram remains haram. وَلَا نُدَاهِنُ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. We do not change anything in the deen, we just acknowledge where we are as human beings. So let's be honest with ourselves though, and say that when we talk about modesty, we said it's not just limited to dress, it's also pertaining to internal behavior, internal states that manifest in how we carry ourselves, and not just the clothing on our body. So let's be honest here and say that it is possible for a woman to not be in hijab, yet she has a degree of haya, of modesty. And conversely, it's possible for a woman who is not in hijab, but be lacking in haya. And that is because the hijab as an obligation is not a zero-sum game where a person is either 100% modest or 100% immodest. There are degrees of modesty and immodesty as it concerns our dress as men and women, as well as our behaviors. And we men are not off the hook here either, as it concerns haya. Too often haya is directed as something towards women, when it applies to everyone in the ummah, men and women alike. It is quite probable, and quite common in fact, that a person may be dressed in the Islamic attire. They may look very visibly Muslim with a thobe or a qamis and a beard or a kufi or whatever, yet they behave and act in a very indecent way, lacking modesty. And conversely, a person may not be observing those practices, yet they have an inner modesty that gives them dignity and modesty in their speech and interactions with others. A person may look the look, the so-called religious Muslim, yet they're flirting with women in the workplace, yet they're speaking indecently, looking at indecent things, and using foul language whenever they're with their friends. So outwardly they have the dress of haya, but their tongue is lacking haya, and their heart is lacking haya. So it's not a zero-sum game. It's not just about clothing. It's about clothing for sure, but also about the tongue, also about the heart, also about the gaze, also about our interactions with the opposite gender, and not being flirtatious, but rather acting in a dignified manner. We have to understand this, because if we do not, then it is very possible that we develop a religious schizophrenia where a person looks the look. Outwardly, they look like they're from the Sahaba, but inwardly, it's kharab, it's all messed up, because more attention is put to the outward than to the inward. At the same time, we don't neglect the outward. The balanced Muslim is the one who observes the outward and the inward. Without that, focusing on one at the expense of the other leads to schizophrenia. And we do not want to have schizophrenic Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ did not bring a way of life that creates religious schizophrenia. So Islam is about gazes being lowered, piety to be internalized and expressed externally in how we speak and how we interact with people, particularly with the opposite gender. And these should be the watchwords for all of us, men and women. Al-haya'u min al-iman. Shyness is from faith. It is from the essence of faith. And so we ask Allah Ta'ala to give us that haya, to strengthen us in our haya, to enliven us with modesty, and to make us and our loved ones people of dignity, of modesty, of haiba, of respect. We ask Allah Ta'ala to remove from us anything that prevents us from living up to the prophetic ideal of modesty, and to take and to remove from us anything that takes us from the path of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to bring us closer to the path of modesty, and to remove from our hearts any desire for degeneracy, crassness, immodesty, indecency, or lewdness. Ameen ya rabbil alameen. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين وجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى صلاتكم